Good evening, everyone, and welcome to another fantastic night of Fandomexus. I'm your ever faithful host, AJ. Greetings and salutations, and look, I have a co-host already.
Hello.
It is Karen. How are you?
I know it's Karen.
I know. I know you know my number from Jamie's. I guess she'll be here in a second.
Yep.
Actually, she was taking a nap, right? Maybe we should have sent her a text message to make
sure. Oh, yeah. We should have texted her and see if she was awake. I forgot about that. Of course, knowing Jamie, she said she was going to take a nap and hasn't.
Yeah,
because,
right?
You know, something always comes up.
I will send her a quick text message just in case while we're talking here. We have a decent slate of shows for tonight, I guess. Can you
hear
me?
Once we figured out what we were talking. Yeah, once we figured out what we were talking about.
Yeah. All right, I just texted her. Hopefully her phone will beep and wake her up.
There she is.
Oh, great.
Hello, Jamie.
Hi, I just heard you say I just texted her when you picked up.
I know. Yeah. Just making sure.
Well,
yeah,
you said you were taking a nap, but we were making sure you were awake.
Yeah, I'm just sorry. I'm just sleepy. As I had said, my grandmother's memorial was today, and just kind of been, you know, a hard day. I'm just kind of tired, so I took a little nap, but I'm okay now. So
good. Because we have a few things scheduled tonight. What's first on our list tonight, you guys?
Why don't you guys do some real estate, and then we'll move on from there.
Okay, so we talked a little bit about this last week because episode 2 was released early on demand, and I had watched it before last week. It's the episode with the little girl.
Right.
I forget what it's called, the Harvey. It's called the Harvey, right? Because that's what they call a ghost. That's like an imaginary friend. Have you seen the movie Harvey?
No, I have not. It's a famous old movie.
It's this old movie. Like Jimmy Stewart is in it. It's black and white, I think. AJ might have seen it. And Jimmy Stewart is this guy. He's a grown man, and he has this like imaginary like rabbit that's like his imaginary friend. I mean, it's not like a rabbit in the movie. It's like a guy in a rabbit costume, right? That's like his friend Harvey, and everyone thinks he's crazy and doesn't believe him that he has this. Right? Have you seen it, AJ?
Sounds like Wilfred.
it's a classic movie. You've seen it? So that's the reference in the show,
yeah.
That because like it was his exact name. Luke, is that his name? The guy that Tim Rosen plays? I forget the name of the main character. But that's why they call this type of like imaginary friend ghost a Harvey. But it turns out not to be a very good friend.
Right.
So I thought that little girl was pretty creepy.
Yes. And this is the only thing I was gonna say about this one, and it was what I was talking about last week. I agree. I think that the girl was creepy. The only thing I think is I wish they had used a different makeup effect for when she turns into the older lady. Because that to me looked a little weird, but otherwise.
What do you mean? Like you think it wasn't a good effect? Like, I mean, it did look scary and creepy.
Or something. Whenever, at the very, I'm trying to remember.
I mean, it only is like a flash. We don't see it
very much. I guess that's true. But you got to remember, too, though, when I've seen them, like, before they finish the effects, so they're not always they're not always complete, which could be part of it. I'm trying to remember.
Yeah.
This time we get to see, in this episode, you get to see kind of where, I'm sorry. Oh, I'm going to do that, too.
Jamie.
Sorry. I'm here. I can't help it. I'll try to get going. Anyway, you get to see one of them, and it tricks them, and it is that little girl, but not really that little girl, and it's kind of freaky. But and yeah, like you had said to me in your text, I didn't like that she killed the pet. I had forgotten about that. That's not good.
When she kills the hamster, right? Like, I mean, I knew that hamster was. I mean, I knew when she was like threatening him and saying mm-hmm. like, "I'm gonna hurt someone," and he's like, "Don't hurt my parents. I was like, "Oh no, Josh, that's his name, right?" I was like, "Oh no, Josh the hamster is totally gonna, you know, not gonna make it out of this."
Yeah.
I knew Josh the hamster was doomed.
Kind of sucks. I was gonna say this one shows that kind of how they do their thing, like how Luke is like kind of able to take care of it, even they don't necessarily believe him in this one. Like the parents, they have a hard time really knowing what's going on, but they do trust him and let him take care of it. Because he's able to talk to them, or maybe the other ones.
But they kind of don't really. Like, I mean, they don't believe the house is haunted, but they don't. They only let him proceed in the end because what's her name? The new woman that they hired.
Susan.
Susan gives
him
a big lecture. I don't know why. Susan gives them a big lecture about why they should. Why they have to just let him get on with it. I mean, she's instrumental in having them. I'm not sure they ever really do believe.
But she's instrumental in getting them to agree. And it ends up the ghost. I was just reading this thing. It ends up the ghost is really LRG, Little Red's granny, is what they call it. And this is where I was saying that it sort of reminded me of Ghostbusters too a little bit. Or at least what I remember of Ghostbusters was kind of how they have the trap that they set for it, or he sets for it.
Oh, yeah, they suck it into, like, a little machine like they do in Ghostbusters. I remember that now that you mentioned it.
Right.
Yeah, I remember this. I thought the same thing when I saw it, that it immediately reminded me of Ghostbusters.
Right. So they kind of, that's how they get it. But I was thinking, this isn't the one with the bird, is it? Sorry, I'm reading this, trying to see it. But, okay, oops, I clicked something.
There's no bird in this that I'm aware of.
The parents don't believe it, but he's still able to stop it because of what she does. Like, he still needs her because she's able to convince him. And that's where too, like, it shows that she's, you know, she's good at selling houses. They need, you know, they need her too. That was kind of why they had needed her. I'm trying to see if there's anything else.
Well, but she does. So in the end, she does have like several offers on the house, right? But, oh yes, Cindy, that was the little girl's name. But mm-hmm. I mean, she really, the fact that she like gives this kind of impassioned plea, asking the parents to allow Luke to proceed, like she's kind of a believer, I guess, or she's coming around to be a believer. Like in the first episode, I think there was a moment where Susan thought she had maybe made a mistake taking this job, and like didn't really believe, but she. I mean, she had seen the ghost. She had seen the little girl. She's the first person to see the ghost other than the child, right? So, I mean, she's definitely a believer that this house is, there's a ghost in this house. So she's coming around, I guess. I mean, she also, I mean, we saw that whole scene where she's telling her mother, like, maybe I made a mistake. And the mother's like, no, you didn't need to, like, stick it out, right? And they'll start to like you. And I guess this is the episode where she starts to make an effort to have her coworkers start to like her.
Yeah, to kind of fit in with.
Yeah. So, I mean, she's, I feel, so, oh, I don't know how much you've seen, only having seen these two episodes, she feels, I mean, she's almost like a second lead in this episode. I'm not feeling like a true ensemble of five people yet, having only seen two episodes, right? Like, of course, Tim Rosen's the star. Luke is the star.
Right.
Susan has played a much bigger role than the other three people who work in the office so far.
Yeah, I would still say that's probably for most. I mean, they've got bigger parts. They do have more coming up, but I would say
it's only been two episodes.
A bigger part than that, yeah. Was there any with I'm bad with the names, but the one from last week, the girl that he likes, was she in this one at all? Is there anything to mention with that?
No, I mean, Luke continues to be sort of obsessed with this house and driving by it all the time. And his coworkers, I think it's Susan or maybe all the coworkers, are sort of like insinuating that he likes her. And, you know, but she's got a fiance. And, you know, like they checked in on that. This episode, nothing happened, but this episode was not without reference to that. He does go by the house. Like,
okay.
Right?
Well, yeah.
Like, he
and
goes by the house.
Point too. Part of it. I mean, at least I felt like part of it was her, part of it was the house. Like, I think he was kind of intrigued by both, would be what I would say.
I mean, he's denying that he likes her and that he's interested in her. I mean, I think he clearly is attracted to her and is interested in her, right?
Right. But they really don't know the extent of what happened to him yet either, though. So, like, he hasn't really shared that with them.
Yet. What part of your spine do you keep?
What do you mean?
What is that? Who is that?
That's my computer. An ad launched on my computer while I was sitting here.
Oh, okay.
Sorry. yeah, sorry about that. So, yeah, nothing, I mean, you know, it was, I mean, that's definitely like a lingering story that's moving along in the background, right?
Right.
Yeah, but there's no developments on it or anything this week.
Well, I think this episode kind of shows, too, how they each are going to have their own sort of, not necessarily ghosts, but own sort of paranormal, whatever you want to call it, entity or thing going on with each house, and that obviously not, you know, they're all different. They could be good, they could be bad, because, you know, obviously at first they think it is a good ghost, so not all of the ghosts necessarily that they'll encounter are bad, and they're not always per se ghosts either. They're, you know, it depends what it is, but I think this episode kind of is a good standalone, but it kind of shows the kind of thing.
You know what happened that we didn't mention? At the end, we see Luke is playing miniature golf with this old with the ghost of his father.
Oh yeah, I forgot about that. Yeah. I like those scenes with him and his father. He was playing baseball with him in the first one, I think, wasn't he?
He was at the batting cage. Yeah, he was at the batting cage.
Yeah,
in the first one.
His father talks to him a lot.
That was nice, and it gives him a little, like, I do think that, I mean, it's likable enough, but because it's only two episodes, I guess, the characters are kind of, like, I don't know. They're not that interesting yet. Like, we don't have any, like, real characterization. Like, they're just kind of boring because they're new and maybe just because we don't know anything about them. And so I guess seeing him talk to his dad a little bit at the end, like, I don't know, maybe makes him a little bit interesting. Because all we know about him is that, like, we haven't seen anything except out the office, right? We haven't seen him outside. We don't know anything about him.
And this kind of shows that, you know, he has a connection with, he's able to see these, you know, ghosts or whatever, because obviously he's able to connect with them, I think, a lot of times better than some of the other people. It's like his specialty or whatever, you know. So, but yeah, I like scenes with him.
Yeah. It's kind of interesting to see, like, why can he see his dad, like, and he sees his mom? Mm-hmm. Like,
he's open to it.
Like, Well, like, does he have powers, or is he a medium, or, right, because other people don't see ghosts around all the time. Like, so the little girl,
yeah,
Cindy, did
more
did appear to Susan.
I would say.
Yeah, like,
yeah.
Like, Cindy chose to appear to Susan, but Luke seems to see ghosts everywhere. Like, whereas the two guys who work in the office, there's the father and, well, I mean the priest, the ex-priest,
yeah,
and the other guy who has to use those special, like, telescopes and stuff to see ghosts, right? But Luke can just see ghosts.
Yeah, he
so does. He seems to be able to.
Yeah.
So I don't know if he has powers or like, he's a medium or something.
Yeah, he's, like, I think
he has
Pete. More susceptible to it, I'd say. He's open to it more than some of the other ones.
No, but I think everyone who works in his office except Susan is very open to it. I mean, they all believe in ghosts,
No.
Right?
I mean, I don't mean, like, purposefully open to it. I just mean, like, I think he's someone that they're more, I don't want to say attracted to, but maybe that is the right word.
Because he's, like, a medium. Because he's, like, a medium, or he has some sort of, like
yeah,
ability.
I just mean, it's not necessarily, like, explained. I'm just saying it's, like, yeah, he's
I'm saying it's not explained yet, but maybe it's there.
Right.
Like
right.
It needs
could be.
To me, it needs to be. To me, it needs to be explained. If it doesn't get explained, it's a little bit of a – could become a hole down the road. I don't need it explained in episode 2. I might need it explained by episode 12, depending on where it goes.
Yeah.
We'll
I don't know. But, yeah, I don't know. I just took it – it's going by two, what, like, Tim had said.
How many – yeah. How many episodes are there, and how many have you seen? How many are there? Do you know?
I'm not sure how many there are. I've seen 8. I'm not sure –
okay.
There are probably
right.
13.
There has to be more than 8. Yeah, there's going to be more than 8 because 8 is a dumb number and you didn't see a single
finale.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Probably 13. Sci-fi is usually 13.
Yeah. And I was just going to say also the actor, I'm sorry, I'm like, my brain is not working.
Tim
Rosen? No, I was going to say the actor who plays August, Maurice. The one that has all the kind of ghost equipment. I'm going to be talking to him very soon. I just was mentioning
cool.
it. I'm going to be talking
cool.
to him.
Maybe you can
so.
Ask him. Maybe you can ask him why he needs special glasses to see ghosts and Luke doesn't. That's my question.
Write that down, and then I will ask.
Yeah. That's my question. Yeah. So yeah, it was okay. You know, we've slipped into this, like, procedurally case of the week thing a little bit, right? And this case
yeah.
was, so this case was kind of maybe less mysterious and less interesting than last week, but good for, like, exposition-wise, explaining a little bit more of what they do and how they do it through this case.
Right. Yeah, this episode was definitely very procedural. I mean, they're all kind of procedural, but this one was sort of really self-contained. But, yes, that's what I said. I think this one is a good one to kind of show what the show is, you know, the kind of
mm-hmm.
the kinds of things they can come up against and shows how Luke's kind of the one who's good at taking care of it and knows what to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I was trying to, I'm trying to remember without spoiling anything. Did they mention anything yet about, I feel like maybe in this one they mentioned like ghosts before that maybe didn't go as well or whatever. I'm trying to remember.
Yes,
I'm
yes.
Looking
I mean,
DNA.
Yes.
Not,
I think Luke.
Like, there wasn't
I mean,
anything specific, but it's a little bit things
that,
are all so right, I would say.
I think that Luke has mentioned, like, for example, he's very upset when Susan doesn't obey his instructions to not, like, mess
yeah.
around with this ghost in the house, and she, like, gets her back up. She's like, I know, I'm a really good real estate agent, I know what to do, and then Luke says something like, look, you know, we've had situations where this, I forget what he exactly says, but he does say, like,
yeah.
like, I've seen how this can go bad, and you need to, until you learn, you need to do it the way I say, because, he mentions something about he tells a story about a house they were trying to sell that I don't know if it like blew up and people were killed. He tells some story about something that happened in some other house, and I guess maybe I forget exactly what happened. It's a whole week ago that I watched it, and obviously it didn't seem that important or I'd remember it. But he does tell her some story about like how things can go wrong.
Right. Right. That's what I said. It's kind of like not every, like everything doesn't, when they've done it, it's alluding that not, it hasn't always gone perfectly. They don't always necessarily take, you know, easily take care of the problem, I guess, is what I'm
saying.
No,
although my impression was that the story was something in the past and that they've learned from it and they've learned how to be safer. Like it was not a,
right.
I didn't get, yeah. And that
they
know what they're doing.
I think that they've learned and they have their for lack of a better term, ghost-busting equipment that they've learned. And also there's kind of the thing where he knows not to trust them, too, just because they seem like a sweet, innocent, you know, ghost.
Well, yeah, I mean, that was a little dumb because I would feel like, why would anybody, like, not know that or have to be told that?
Well, yeah, like, but I think the point is there are good ghosts, too. I mean, I wouldn't say, I would assume by that there are some that are, but that's just not what this one is. And obviously this show isn't going to be filled with nice, happy ghosts, but, you know.
No, and I think the point of that was more for Susan's development as a character than his. I mean, that was a character development moment for Susan, not for him, really.
Right.
Although, you know.
True.
Anyway, it was fine. It's not like my most favorite, greatest show of the season, at least not yet, but it's a fine watch for an hour, right? Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I liked it. It's hard sometimes for me to differentiate and say, like, well, this one was very different because I watched them in a chunk. I didn't watch them one at a time every week. But yeah, I mean, this one, I think it does a good job of setting up kind of what the show is and some of kind of an idea of what kind of things we're going to see throughout the season.
Yeah. I know a lot of people some people didn't like the child actors in this, but I mean, I thought they were both fine, really. I hate kids on shows, but they're not characters, but, you know, they're not recurring characters.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I thought those two kids were fine, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, they're no, like, they're no, like, child prodigy, but they were fine.
And the boy's kid's name was Jamie, so can't be too bad, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, right? Yeah. I found that kid to be quite likable, and I was worried about him.
Yeah.
So, all right. So, I guess it's on again. It's on Saturdays, so it's on again this weekend. So, we'll have another episode to discuss next week.
Yeah.
All right.
I have to get the show straight. I don't know why I can never remember what days anything's on anymore. I'm like, it's on Saturday?
Yeah.
I think it's
on Saturday. I think it's on Saturdays. All right. So, I think we wanted to discuss quickly also that Roswell, New Mexico premiered last night, season 3. Season 3? Was that season 3? Is it season 2 or 3?
Season 3 or 2? I want to say 2. I think 2, isn't it?
I think it's 2.
Maybe it's 3. I'm going to look while you're...
Whatever.
While you're...
The new season is back.
Right.
It's been a full year since that was on. It's been, I guess, a long time COVID delayed.
It's season 3.
Yeah, this is season 3.
Season 3.
So season 3 we premiered last night. I got to tell you, you and I were texting while it was on, and I stopped watching it, and I went and watched the season finale from a whole year ago, and then came back and watched the premiere again, because I couldn't remember, like, who these people are and what happened, and I was like, wait, who is this guy that Alex is dating, and what's going on, and who's this guy, this other brother, because the third brother, Gregory, was just, like, introduced so late last year. I couldn't remember any of it. That's Gregory Means.
Yeah.
The other brother.
I didn't go back. I probably should have. I didn't take the time to go back, but I didn't really, I don't know, I told you. I was kind of like, I didn't know if I cared enough. I don't know. I mean, it was okay. I just didn't find it very interesting. Like, it didn't grab me like I totally cared. I don't, maybe because, and granted, the romance isn't necessarily the thing I care about. I don't mean it that way, but the fact that everybody was, like, kind of split up and like Liz is like in a different place, you know, like physically in a different place, and Max is like all drinking and upset, and it was like I don't want to say I didn't care, but it was a little too much teen drama. But at the same time, like, it made them less interesting, I feel like, being apart. Like, I really didn't care about Liz's storyline all that much. Like, yeah, I like that she's, you know, trying to help people, and I like the idea that, like, she leaked her research and all that. But I don't know. I guess just because the whole group wasn't together, I didn't find it as interesting. And a lot of it focused on, like, Alex. His name's Alex, right? Okay. A lot of it was, like you said, on him and his relationship with that other guy who I had forgotten, which really I didn't really care all that much about. I guess it's Michael. Michael's kind of with neither of the people. But I don't know. I didn't find a storyline like that compelling. Like, the part that I thought actually was more interesting, and that I was trying to remember what happened, and maybe you can remind me, but the part that I thought was more interesting was when the racist guy sees Rosa.
He's not a racist. I mean, he could be a racist, but sister
making a point of saying that, like, I forget exactly what happened, but he didn't like them because they were immigrants.
That's not why he doesn't like her. While this show does often talk about the immigrant experience and that the father is illegal, that guy's name is Floyd, I think, right?
I don't know.
I'm going to tell you. His sister was in the car that Rosa was drunk driving and was killed. Except we all know that Rosa, we all know what happened there. But his sister was killed by Rosa when she was drunk driving, and that's why he hates her.
Right, I get
now,
that.
He
made a comment about her being from, like, to go home or something.
Calls her an illegal, but that's not the main point of his character, and that's not why he hates her.
No, yes, I get that. But I thought that part was a little more interesting. I had forgotten that she had sort of,
his name is Florence.
I don't know, say powers, that something happened. And that's what I'm trying to remember. Like, it was because of her that Max was able to be saved. That's the part that I don't remember.
This is why I went back and watched all this, because like the minute that I wanted to really turn it off and go back is when we see the guy who looks like Max in the egg, right? And I was like, wait, who is that guy? And that was one reason I had to go back and like rewatch
the
whole thing, because I couldn't remember any of that.
Remembered, surprisingly. I don't know why. That part I kind of remembered with him having the memories, although I didn't remember that he was a clone. I just remembered about him having the memories of when he was little, and it sounds like maybe he was not necessarily the savior that this other guy was.
Well, we don't really know if he's a clone. We know that this guy, Mr. Jones, told him, like, went in his brain.
At one point, he says
when he touches Max and goes in his mind, we don't see anything. And then when he breaks free, Isabel says, what happened? And Max says, he told me that he's the savior and I'm the clone. But we don't really know what that means, and we don't know if it's true.
That's true, too. He could be totally lying. I guess the main point is that Max is dying. I don't know. Truthfully, I think the problem is, with at least to me with this episode, is like I said, like, I didn't really care enough to go back. I didn't find the episode all that interesting.
You might have found it. You might have found it more interesting if you had refreshed yourself on what happened at the end of last season. I mean, I find it not that interesting because the show is just not that good. And I watch the show like because it's on and as sort of just like a thing that I watch, not because I find it to be a particularly well-made piece of television, right?
Yeah, and that's like, I don't remember loving it either last time. I mean, it's good, but I've never think that I loved it enough that I cared enough. Is what I'm,
you and I watch it because it's on. We watch it because it's fine and it's on and there's like nothing else to watch. We don't watch it because we love it or really care that much, right?
Right.
But I think, you know, so this episode takes place 1 year later. You know, Rosa...
Yeah, oh, that also annoyed me.
Liz did leave town, but I kind of like that it acknowledges that it's been gone, it's been off for a year, it's been delayed. I kind of like that it picks up a year later, and it doesn't pick
up
the next day.
Mentioned that there's been a pandemic, too. So it kind of works in that sense, I guess.
Yes, I kind of really liked that the bar is called the Pony, the something Pony, right? I liked that the Dancing Pony, is that it? I liked that the Pony now has a patio, and they, like, everybody's drinking outdoors in the patio, which is the way, like, life is being lived now, and it allows them to maybe shoot,
and it
allows them maybe to shoot that scene in a way they couldn't shoot those maybe indoor scenes, maybe, right?
Mm-hmm.
I like that. I mean, I kind of like, of course everyone's going to be separated from the person that they love. This is what drives a CW show, right?
True.
Is like
true.
Romantic conflict among young people. And, you know, so I appreciate that Forrest, I also like that Forrest, the guy that Alex is dating in the first scene, right? In the first episode, Alex Maines is dating Forrest. And, you know, you and I both forgot who he is and whatever, but it's fine because they break up already by the end of this episode. And his whole purpose, the whole purpose of that relationship, like, who cares about it? The whole purpose of it is just so that Alex and Darren can be not together.
Right. Yeah.
Like, he exists only as something for Alex to do while he's not with Darren. So I kind of didn't – I mean, he's very boring. He's a very boring character, right? Like,
yeah,
like,
well, the other point, too, is that he's working with that government agency or whatever it is. I forget.
Oh, yeah.
Big Sky something.
I think it's called.
This episode just really didn't super grab me, I guess, and all. I was interested in Maria having her visions and that she helped cover up murder, apparently. I think that part was more interesting. That's why I said, like, I guess I found sort of the smaller moments more interesting than the main plot lines and the main drama.
I don't think she's covering up a murder. I think it's her murder. I think the vision is of her own.
No. In her vision, she sees herself talking to them, and they say something about. And that's the way she's seeing the vision.
In her vision, they're not talking to her. They're talking to each other. No one. She never speaks. She never has a conversation. Right? She doesn't ever speak, I don't think.
There. I took it that she was in, like, in that. But I guess you're right. It's unclear whether she's actually really part of that moment or just the way she's seeing it. You know what I mean?
She's seeing a vision. Like, I think it's like when Harry Potter, like, looks in the pensieve. He's like there, but he's not a participant, right? And, like, nobody can hear him or talk to him, but we can see him. I took it as though Maria's the observer, and she, like, is there, or like when, what is all this beeping? Or it's like when Mr. Scrooge goes with the ghost. And he goes with the ghost of Christmas past to the party, and he tries to talk to people, and he really can't because, like, we see him as the – so that's how I took it, because by the end, when Liz is attacked and left to die, I thought, oh, Liz is at a vision of her own funeral.
Not Liz, but, yeah, Maria.
Not Liz,
yeah,
Maria.
I don't know.
Maria.
I thought and I don't know – I don't know. Like I said, I had a hard time getting into all this and saying,
I mean, I don't think she's really going to die. I don't think she's really going to die.
Because it showed her with a knife. I thought maybe it was supposed to be that she killed somebody, whoever it was, and they, for whatever, I don't know. It was, they didn't really show what it was, I guess, yet, for sure. We'll have to see.
Yes.
I agree with you
that at first I took it like, oh, she's going to kill one of these attackers. And that's the murder that they're covering up, right? But then by the end of it, it looks like she's the only person who's been injured, and she's lying there, and she's like, she says something like, oh, I know what I saw. I forget what she says, something about the coffin. So unless there's another body laying there that we haven't seen and she killed one of these guys, although it makes no sense they'd cover up. It wouldn't be a murder. It was self-defense, and there would be no need to cover it up, right? If she had killed one, that's not what we're seeing. And they wouldn't be crying at the funeral of one of her attackers. So I think she had a vision of her own funeral. Now, the thing is, like, we don't really – Maria's visions don't necessarily have to be what is going to happen. It could be a vision of what could happen or what might happen.
True.
Obviously believes – she believes that the visions are sent to her to intervene. She's refusing treatment. She won't let Kyle treat her because she says, why am I getting these visions if I'm not supposed to do anything about them? So I feel like maybe her visions are what might happen – and she could intervene to change that.
Yeah, I would definitely say that's what they're trying to make you think, at least. Because otherwise, there's kind of no point. But obviously, it's making her, it's hurting her. It's affecting her brain.
Yeah. Now, I do think it's only a matter of time before Liz comes back. Like, I agree with you, Liz being in L.A. is, like, problematic. I did kind of like the part where Liz... You know, she confesses to Kyle that she always expected Max to come get her, and Max never has, and it, like, really hurts her that Max... I mean, it's kind of messed up way to have your relationship. Like, she's mad at him for not to her, even though she was so mad at him. Like, he destroyed her lab, and she was so pissed, right? And, I mean, she worked... If you remember, the reason she's at this company is her ex-fiancé, Diego, came to town, and he was instrumental in her getting this job. And Max destroyed her lab so Diego wouldn't find it. So, I think this guy she's hooking up with, he's also a little boring. He also, this also exists only for a short time, I guess, because Liz and Max are like the super couple of the show, right? It was interesting that Kyle says this thing to Maria. No, he says to Isabel, when Kyle is telling Isabel that Max is going to die, and Isabel's like, do something. And Kyle says, trust me, if I thought there was anything Liz could do, I would personally carry her home from L.A. So I felt like, oh, okay, that maybe is what's going to happen. Maybe there's going to be something and they're going to need Liz to come back to save Max.
Oh, I'm sure.
Right. Because that's why Isabel has woken up Mr. Jones, because she wants to ask Mr. Jones, Kyle needs medical information on how aliens work.
Right.
So there's that. I don't know. I guess I agree with you that, like, that we don't care enough about, like, for me to go back and watch it, fine. I totally understand why you didn't want to go back and watch last season's finale. It's not worth the investment of time to you. It's not, the show is not that complex that you can't, that it really matters that much, or that you can't pick it up in a week by next week, right? I think... I like Garen. I like the siblings. Like, they were really good together. Like, Max and Isabel and Garen were good together in this episode.
And they strengthened their powers, too, because I don't remember Max really even having – could he move things before so much as much? I mean, Michael could, but I don't remember Max having so much – like, it seems like they're supposed to have practiced, I guess.
No, Max's main power – Max's main power is healing, and, like, Garen's main power is moving things with his mind, but also he can see how things work, right? He's, like, the mechanical genius kind of one.
Right.
And Isabel's main power is mind control.
Max obviously is moving things now. So I took it that they've been
working on
it.
Oh, he has, like, lightning power. He has, like, lightning power, electricity power, right? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right, but he moves things. But obviously, because that surprised me, he moved things. But, also,
Isabel
has strengthened her. I took it that she's been working on her whatever. That's not a mind palace. I want to call it a mind palace, but you know what I mean. Her bringing them into her head, or whatever. She's gotten better at it.
I mean, I think all three of them have gotten better at their powers, and I think all three of them are finding probably multiple. They all have their main thing, but I think they all three have multiple powers. Like Garen can move things with his mind.
Oh yeah.
And we saw Isabel move some stuff also. Like, I think they have their main power that they differ in a little bit, but they have general. Anyway, I liked them. I mean, I liked, they seem to have, well, everybody's very unhappy. Like, one reason this episode is such a downer is because every single person is unhappy. Like, everyone is not with the person they love, and also everyone's, like, professional life is unfulfilling, and like, or they're in therapy or whatever, right? Like, everybody's messed up in this episode. Mm-hmm. So it was a real downer. But I thought the three of them were a little more at ease together and like a brighter part of the episode, I guess. I don't know. And I like those scenes on the patio.
They're all with somebody else now too, though, because as much as they're all sad and not moving on, like, and the end, you know, Max is sleeping with that singer and Liz is off with that other guy. So,
well, I think most of them
attempting to move on. I think they're going to probably wish they hadn't once they get back to, you know, once they're physically back together, they're going to,
Max says, yeah, Garen makes this remark that Max has broken the one-night stand record, right? Like, Max is just, like, going through, like, sleeping with everyone he can, mm-hmm. obviously because of his pain. Like, we saw him crying listening to Liz's voice on those tapes, right? And then Isabel actually is not. Isabel's still dating that waitress, and she seems to... And, like, Garen is not dating anyone. Alex was trying to, like, you know, go... I mean... Yeah, everybody's
you keep calling him Garen. Michael, I take it that he was going to, I mean, he wanted to see Alex. He went there to meet him at the bus stop and found him making goo-goo eyes at the other guy. So,
I think
Maria right now either, obviously. So.
I think he's really in love with Alex more than Maria. Like, I think he... I guess he loved Maria or whatever, but he really, I think Alex is his real, I mean, ever since high school, right? He and Alex are like.
Or at least now, right now. But yeah, I think that he.
Yeah.
That's what I said. He went there at the bus stop to see him and then found him with the other guy. He was a little crushed.
Yeah.
And obviously there'll be more of that. Now that Alex is staying, I'm sure that they'll explore that more because he didn't go off when he had a chance.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and so we think Mr. Jones is going to be a bad guy, right? Like, he's a bad guy for sure. Well, of course he's a bad guy. Like, their mothers, like, what did he say? Our mothers called him the devil. Like, Michael says, there's a guy in a cage that our mothers called the devil or whatever. Like, we shouldn't let him out. Like, he's a bad dude.
The one thing I wanted to ask you, though, that was kind of, they weren't, I got the opinion that they hadn't finished they had the cage, right? Was it just that they were kind of stalling with that, with doing that more than anything? Like, it wasn't necessarily that they couldn't do it. That's what I, was trying to.
Well, Michael said he couldn't do it, but I think Michael was stalling because they don't want to bring, like, Max has wanted for, like, Isabel and Michael don't agree with Max about bringing him out of stasis into a cage. And I think Michael was stalling on the cage, right?
But it's like,
Michael was stalling on
about alien physiology. You knew that was coming. I mean, that was kind of like...
Well, you knew that was coming, and you know...
Save Max, whether on purpose or not, we don't know.
Well, yeah, it's kind of interesting that, like, Max has wanted this really badly, and Michael's like, no, no, no. And, you know, Michael's like, no. But then when Isabel wants to save Max, all like, when Isabel wants, okay, let's do it, like... It's still a very bad idea, I think. You and I agree, right? But Isabel,
right, but it's
like, always gets her way.
No,
but it's also, Isabel always gets her way. Like, Isabel gets her way all the time. Like, those, like,
yeah, true,
those,
too.
Like, Michael, like, we didn't even see Michael protesting at all. Like, next thing we see, so it was kind of a, I mean, you raise a good point about this sort of, apparently the cage was all built. Like, all of a sudden there's a cage, a glowing rainbow cage.
Yeah.
Suddenly appears. Like, Michael built it in like a day, or was it already built and just not being used? And like, Isabel, like, he's just like, oh, okay, whatever. Like, what? How did Isabel talk him into this really bad idea? That was just sort of a thing that maybe happened too fast. It happened too fast for a normal show. For a CW show, whatever. Like, it just happens.
Right.
And we shouldn't worry about it. But I feel like, you know,
that's
Isabel's
why I
pretty good
said,
at, like,
I feel like they were supposed to be more stalling and trying not to do it. And
yes, I agree.
They ended up
with that.
So.
I think it was stalling, So, yeah, he's going to be bad. And certainly he's going to escape, right? And then there'll be a big part of the season about having to catch him and defeat him, probably.
Yeah.
And if you remember...
In the meantime, the actors will play both parts.
Yeah. In season one, Noah was really quite powerful compared to, I mean, part of the deal with Isabel, Michael, and Max is that they were raised by humans and didn't even know they were aliens and didn't even know they had powers and can't control their powers, right? So, I mean, that's why Noah was so much more powerful, and I guess why Mr. Jones will be so much more powerful. But as you pointed out, they seem to be getting stronger and coming into their powers a little more.
Practicing.
Yeah.
But I agree with what you said. I think that the next point is that Liz is going to have to come back in order to help Max.
The
medical expertise or whatever.
Also to help Rosa and Maria. Like Kyle's going to want her back to try to cure Maria because Maria won't wear the bracelet. And then Rosa is like going to probably, you know, need her also.
That was the other thing I wanted to mention that I think was important, is at the end, that one that attacked her, he stabbed him with that drug that her mother had that wiped people's memories. I had totally...
Oh, that's right. That's right.
Her mother sent him was because she could wipe his memory. Because you can't have him remembering she's not dead.
That's very convenient that she stabbed Wyatt with a mind erasing drug, because now maybe he can forget that he's mad at her for killing his sister.
I had forgotten the whole thing about the drugs and that. I knew their mother was sort of bad, but that was all I remembered, was that she
her mother wanted to kill Alex's father. Like, names
no,
were
yeah,
so
I remembered that.
Terrible. Yeah.
She wasn't a good person.
Well, I mean, every bad person thinks they're doing the right thing, right? Like, she wanted to build that
bomb. Right, right, right.
To kill,
but I mean, in general, like, I remember how she stole Liz's box. I don't remember what it was, but something of Liz's she stole.
I only
remember these bits and pieces. Shows how much I cared about this show.
The most important thing about her is that she left when the girls were very young and they've grown up without a mother, and they always resented her for leaving and for dumping them, right?
And
like, that's her main thing.
Helped her daughter's drug habit, though, too, in the past. She's sort of been a very bad influence.
I mean, her main thing is being a bad mother, and that whole thing with her, like, suddenly appearing and wanting to build this bomb and all, I was kind of dumb last year. She's probably just gone now. But so the only other question remaining is, like, who were these four guys in alien masks who attacked Maria, and why did they attack Maria? Like, that might actually be a little bit of an interesting story, because that's about, like, I don't know. They're like, you know, the town is populated by believers and non-believers, and, like, what does all that mean? I mean, that could end up being more interesting probably than some of this other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Or not. Or it could be dumb. So, anyway, I guess I'm going to watch the show because it's on, but if there was more stuff on, I probably would not. I don't know why. I can't believe I'm watching season three of the show. The whole season one, I was, like, embarrassed to say I was watching.
I'm surprised there even was a season three, to be honest, at CW. Yeah, I was kind of like,
actually,
and then I was like, oh, that wasn't
been,
that great. I don't know. I didn't.
It's already been renewed for season four.
Really? Wow.
Because I think it got the two season renewal before, like, everything got put on hold in January of 2020 it was renewed for season three, and then it got renewed early this year for season four before the season three even, like, started. So yeah, it got renewed like a couple months ago for season four. So it'll be on for a while.
Yeah.
So anyhow.
Yeah, I don't know. I didn't think it was all that great, the premiere. It didn't grab me, and it didn't inspire me enough to make me want to go back and watch the finale. Like, I kind of, like, I get that you didn't help remember, but I was like, eh.
I go back and watch the season finale for many, many shows. I do it for a lot of shows.
Yeah.
So,
although, to be fair,
I
have a lot of other
stuff
to watch.
I'm not arguing that it was a fantastic episode, and that you. I mean, it was. It maybe helps me to like it a little better than you did, because I watched it right. I went Like
Yeah, that makes sense.
Only because I watched it in like 2 hours. I'm not saying it was a fantastic piece of television.
Right.
So anyhow, okay, we can be done with that. We've been talking for too long about these. This show.
Yeah. The other thing, and this has nothing to do with that, I just was thinking about it all of a sudden. You know that the, I don't know if you guys, did you guys watch the original, I said this has absolutely nothing to do with that, but I was just thinking about it. Did you guys watch the original Dexter? Because the new series is coming. They had the comic book.
I did not watch it. I don't know if AJ watched it. I think Alyssa might have watched it.
How do you not know that I watched Dexter? I mean, I ranted about Dexter forever.
Just
how it was the worst.
I haven't seen the end of the original. The
worst.
Yet, so.
I don't have to. I could say what I want without ruining it for you. The worst finale ever in the history of finales.
And I know. So AJ, perhaps the reason I had to ask you that is because I know that a lot of people felt it was a terrible finale, right? It was like universally hated. Right?
Let me put it to you this way. Yes, a lot of people hated it. I hated the finale of Dexter more than any moment on the 100.
Wow. Bad. That is bad.
There you go.
Because I haven't seen...
There you
I
go.
I've seen up I forget what... I know I didn't see the end of it. I quit watching it for whatever reason. Never got around to seeing the end. I do want to know what happens, but I'm going to watch that. But that's coming... And then also, Lucifer Season 6 is coming September 10th. And there also was the Doctor Who trailer, because that's coming this year.
Yeah.
Don't know when, but sometime this year. And, because Comic-Con was this weekend. That's why I had seen
Yeah, Comic-Con was this weekend. That's why all the stuff
some
about.
Of the
yeah. yeah, I'm not, I didn't watch Dexter before, and I'm not going to watch it now. Not interested. But
what
know,
I
enjoy
what
it.
I saw mm-hmm. in the previews, it made it sound like he doesn't want to kill anymore. I mean, not that he was like, I don't know. It made it seem different in the preview. But that's neither here nor there. We don't got to discuss it. I was thinking about it.
Yeah, we'll have to cover that show.
Yeah, but that's coming.
Okay. Is there anything else that you've been watching this week, Jamie?
I watched The Walking Dead premiere. I can say that. I can't talk about it. But I watched I'm trying to think. There hasn't really been anything. I don't think I've really watched anything else. Other than like stuff that's not stuff we talk about, you know.
Right.
So
Walking Dead will be on.
Sorry,
coming in August.
It'll be
on soon enough.
But yeah, but like I said, Lucifer's coming. Doctor Who's coming sometime this year. And there's also Doctor Who game coming too next month, which will be cool.
Like an online game or a video game?
A video game. I'm doing it on PlayStation. I'm going to go with some for all those. But
all right.
So yeah.
Okay.
So yeah, that was some of the news that came out of Comic-Con. But a lot of things. It seems like a lot of things. I feel like a lot of things are starting and ending. You know, it's just kind of that time.
Okay. All right. So I think AJ and I are going to talk about a couple things that we watch. Next week we'll talk about these shows. Nothing else new is coming, right? So we'll have these two shows. I know you want to watch. We're going to go see Black Widow hopefully by next week, and we'll talk about Black Widow next week with you also.
Yeah, so I'll try to watch Winter Soldier too.
Okay. All right.
The other thing I was going to ask is, have you ever watched Witcher?
No, Alyssa
yeah,
watched it, right, AJ? Did you watch it?
I watched it.
Oh, you
Alyssa
said
stopped
you
watching
said you
it.
Watched. You said you watched all
yeah,
of
the whole
one, AJ.
Yeah.
Okay.
I like it.
Because season two of that's fine. Okay, I just was curious.
Okay.
Alrighty. Well, all right. You guys saw American Horror Story.
Yeah.
I didn't.
Stories.
I did not. So.
Oh, man.
Stories, yeah. Well, the first
stories.
Three episodes only are what's aired, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So we're going to talk about that. And
yeah, I don't think there's anything else I've seen that's relevant that I can think of. Other
okay.
than I watched some of the panels for Comic-Con. That's really been it. And then the screeners. So, but yeah, but there's some stuff, some interviews that'll be coming up soon to the site. So.
Okay.
All right. Well, you guys have fun. And we'll talk more about more real estate next. Like I said, I'll be talking to Maurice somewhat soon. So that'll
great.
Be coming too.
All right.
That'll be cool.
All right.
All right.
Talk to you next week.
Have a good
night,
week.
Guys.
Have a good night, Jamie. Bye.
I'll be more into it, I guess, next week. Sorry.
Yeah.
But
that's
I'm
okay.
out of it today.
I know you had a big day today.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, have a good night,
right.
guys. Enjoy talking about your
good
show.
Good night.
Okay.
Right.
Bye-bye.
Night.
Bye.
Night.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
So yeah, AJ, so I mentioned quickly, I saw Black Widow today, in the hope of talking about it tonight, but we can talk about it next week. I mean, all I'll say as a teaser is that I agree with you that it was fun. There are some interesting, I'm looking forward to talking about it with you guys and some questions I have, timeline wise and comics wise and stuff like that I'm sure you can answer. And I thought that we were going to talk about Falcon and the Winter Soldier. Are we holding that for Jamie?
I think she forgot. According to our earlier conversation, we were going to talk about Falcon and Winter Soldier because she's not sure when she's going to watch it.
All right. So we can. You want to talk about that first or about AHS first?
I don't care. Whichever one you want to do first.
Let's do AHS first, which I just watched those three episodes today. And I will start by saying... I was a little worried because it opens with a murder house, like a double to it. The first two episodes are in the murder house. And, you know, I never finished that season, like that first season. Like as soon as I saw the rubber suit, I was gone.
Right.
Like that first, I never watched it.
I always forget
scared.
That you never finished it.
There are two seasons I never watched. That season I never watched because I was too scared of the rubber man. And then I never finished because it was boring.
It got bad.
I just abandoned. I just abandoned the hotel one. But yeah, I never could finish the first season. Murder House was like way too scary for me, and the Rubber Man was like way too scary, and I just never did. So I was like, all right, I'm gonna try it. I'm gonna watch this, and it really wasn't that scary, right? It was a good. There are a lot of good things about it, and I enjoyed it, but it didn't scare the shit out of me to the point that I couldn't watch it, and it wasn't as scary as. Like there are parts of Coven's still my favorite season, and there are parts of Coven that are really scary, and there are parts of oh my god, Asylum was so scary in a lot of ways, right, and creepy, and I surprisingly enjoyed this double Murder House episode.
It was fun. I really enjoyed going back to the Murder House again. I mean, I know American Horror Stories, we do go back to the Murder House for that one episode, get some kind of closure and everything. But I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
It was kind of like revisiting an old friend, in a way. And I kind of like the fact that it's kind of silly at the same time that the house is known for being, you know, all these stories about this house being haunted and everything, and everybody's like, oh well, you know, it just goes to show no matter how many stories you hear about something, people don't take anything seriously because. People are still dying in this house and people are still going to it, you know? I had a lot of fun with it. It was fun, you know, revisiting everything, you know, the first two episodes were called, Rubber Woman. And I like the way they had the parentheses around W-O.
Yep. Yeah.
So, like I said, it was a lot of fun. The main girl there, what the heck was her name? I forgot already. You just watched it. What was her name?
The little red-haired girl. Her name is,
Redhead. Yeah.
The daughter, Matt Bomer's daughter. Her name was, it comes at my tongue. I want to say
Scarlet.
It was S.
Scarlet.
Yeah.
Scarlet.
Scarlet. Yes.
Scarlet.
Mm-hmm. Scarlet. Yep.
She was a sociopath. She was a straight up sociopath. And it's like, Artie and I are watching this together, and I was like, is it bad I'm, like, rooting for her? Like, is that not right?
Yeah. I mean, she really was. I mean, so there's that sort of disturbing part earlier on where it comes out that she's really into sadistic porn, and the violence and the pain is like what's turning her on, and her parents are really concerned about it, and that is like kind of disturbing. And then she really, you know, I mean, when she's, I mean, actually happens really early when she's fantasizing about being with Paris Jackson, and then the fantasy turns into her like choking her to the point of killing her, right? Like, she fantasizes about killing people,
yeah.
And she clearly enjoys killing people throughout this episode, and she's definitely throughout these two episodes. So you're right that she's a sociopath, and we even see her friend, that girl who's her friend whose name is, the nerdy girl that's her friend in high school whose name is,
yeah.
I forget her name, but she says, like, I think you're a sociopath. You have no compassion. You have no empathy. You, like, she lists all the symptoms of being a sociopath,
yeah.
Right? And I actually thought Scarlett might kill her, and I was surprised that it turns and Ruby, like, ends up, like, she runs away and doesn't kill her friend.
Yeah.
And then Ruby saves her. Like, all that was very surprising to me. Because like, in near the end of the episode, when Scarlett says to Ruby, you're the only person in my life whose pain doesn't turn me on. But I think Scarlett was not turned on by her best friend. I really wish I knew the best friend's name.
I can't remember the friend's name.
I'm going to look it up while we're talking. But she does, but at any rate, yeah, to your point, the girl, like, lists all of the, symptoms of being a sociopath.
Straight up sociopath.
And she does have them
yeah.
all. Yeah, like, she's a psycho. And she's probably, like, by the end, like, she goes and she kills Uncle Tony, right? But she's probably going around killing people. Like, she's probably a serial killer. She's probably going around, she gets off on killing people, right? She's been killing people, surely.
Towards the end of the second episode, she finds the guy from Ruby's story and kills him.
yeah.
The one that, you know, she thought was her uncle turned out
the
that
uncle?
Her parents were just
yeah.
tired of her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was terrible. That really was a terrible story. It that also is weird. Like,
yeah.
you're like, oh, I was rooting for Scarlett, but it makes you kind of root for Ruby in a way. Which, by the way, what do you think
yeah.
of Kaia Gerber, like, the casting in this? Kaia Gerber is cast in that role. I hadn't really considered her an actress before this, right? Kaia Gerber is the, you know who she is,
right?
She's the daughter of Cindy.
I had no idea who
she's
the was
daughter,
before this.
She's the daughter of, well, she looks, she's the very image of Cindy Crawford. She's the daughter of Cindy Crawford and Randy Gerber, and she's a model.
Yeah, I didn't know who she was. I had to end the birth because I didn't know who the heck she was before that. And yes, and it's funny, actually, because the whole time I'm looking at her, I'm like, wow, she's a beautiful young girl. I'm like, she looks really familiar. I'm like, what have I seen her in? And then I end her, and I'm like, that's why she looks so familiar, because she looks just like her mother.
She looks exactly like her mother, right? And I haven't really, like, I know she's a model. And I looked her up, and she has a few credits, like a few music videos and a couple things she's been in before this. I hadn't really considered her an actress, and when I saw her, I kind of thought, like, I thought she was okay. Like, okay, she's no Jessica
yeah.
Lange, but I thought she was okay in this role. And I got to say, when I saw her, I thought, like, is this a little bit of stunt casting? Like, Paris Jackson and Kaia Gerber play the two, you know, two incredibly beautiful
yeah.
daughters of celebrities play the two love interests. And I was a little – I know that Paris Jackson has been doing some acting. But I thought, like – I thought – I mean, they were both fine. They were both fine actresses. I thought, like, Kaia Gerber was really fine in the role. And when I saw her, I was like, oh, like, what are
yeah.
you doing, Ryan Murphy? Like, why – and I should have had some faith that Ryan Murphy's not going to cast a bad
yeah. –
the ensemble's always great, and I should have had more faith in Ryan Murphy. I apologize, Ryan Murphy, for doubting you.
I – I think part of the reason that we root for Scarlett is because the mean girls are really mean. And it was funny because I got serious for a minute after they, broadcast that whole thing on the internet with her getting changed and, talking about and it was like, for a split second, I forgot what universe we were in. And I said to Artie, I was like, not for nothing. I was like, she should go to the police. I mean, those girls, even though they're underage, could probably get arrested for solicitation because of what they put on the internet. And then I was like, wait, that's not what this is about. I'm like, stop. It's the murder house. This is just setting up the murders.
Yeah. I mean, so I knew it was coming. Like, I didn't know exactly that was coming, but I knew it was a setup. Like, especially at the moment when what's Paris Jackson's name? Maya. When Maya is texting Scarlett, and she's like, "Where are you? You're not at my party." And Scarlett's like, "I'm grounded." And Maya says, "No, sneak out and come to my house." And right then I was like, "Oh, it's a setup. They're gonna humiliate her. They're totally gonna like this is a setup, right?" And that's the moment that I think earlier on. Like, was it maybe believable that Maya could be attracted to Scarlett? Yeah, I mean, Scarlett's a pretty girl also, right? I mean, they try to make her be nerdy and weird and an outcast, but the fact is, like, she is an attractive young woman who the actress and the character. And so I wasn't really sure, and that was the moment when I knew that Maya was, like, gonna, like, totally fuck her over. When she says, "Oh no, no!"
Oh yeah,
I didn't
trust it the whole time.
Yeah. I did not have a parent mode like you did, where like they should be arrested.
Well, no, it wasn't so much a parent mode. Parent mode is just thinking that the smart thing to be would be like that's solicitation. Like regardless of the age or whatever, it's just like what they did to her was really fucked up.
Yeah. I mean, they totally,
it'd be one thing if they did that to her, just the group of them, but the entire, they live streamed it. That's what made it really bad.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Had they not live streamed it's more of a prank.
Yeah.
Moreover that way.
Right. Live streaming, it makes it that much more, like, vicious. And
that would have,
yeah.
I mean, that was, that would have been like catfishing, as opposed to what they did to her. That was just brutal.
Yeah. I did love the part about when Scarlett says, "Remember that guy at Rutgers that his roommate tricked him and live stream the whole thing and put on the internet and they ended up going, like, I remember that. Do you remember that? Do you remember that happening? That Rutgers thing?
Yes.
And I had forgotten about it. And it's not really that long ago. Right. Like, Tyler Clementi killed himself in 2010. So I looked it up. That's an 11-year-old crime. But so it's interesting. So, that's interesting because I don't know. It's interesting because, like, you and I, and I think most of the audience who watched this show, certainly remember a high-profile case from 10 years ago. It was interesting to me, like, Scarlett only knows about that because that happened when she was probably, 6 years old, right? It was interesting they brought that up because I remembered the whole thing, and that totally, resonated with me as soon as they kind of brought it up. It was a little bit – I mean, it was 10 years ago, but they did kind of the same thing. 10 years ago, we talked about it being on a webcam. Today, they're live streaming it, but it's really the same thing, right?
Yeah.
Just wasn't called that. That was interesting. And I had kind of, they end up getting killed, so it brings about that whole guy in the murder house. You have to stay there forever, and you don't get to move on.
Right.
It's getting really crowded in there now.
Oh, it's been really crowded in there. Even from before season one, there was so many dead people in that house. One of my favorite things was the psychiatrist. She kept alluding to another psychiatrist in the house.
Yeah. And then, you know, Matt, one of the fathers says, like, I want the name of the other psychologist who's dead in this house because
yeah.
you suck.
Yeah. Yeah.
It is crowded.
Yeah.
It's so crowded in there. And, you know, it's great that they, I mean, that was awesome. And, but it's, I don't know. It's also great that they can introduce all these, like, kind of new people into the house. Sometimes bring up an old ghost, but have all these new ghosts
yeah.
also that, like, are fitting
exactly.
in there somehow. And that, and the way in which the ghosts, like, they don't get along with each other. They, like, you know, they each other on a daily basis. They, right? Like, all that, like, drama among the ghosts going on there is kind of fun.
Yeah.
Although by the end of it, they're almost like, it's funny, the introduction of the two dads, Dad and Dad,
yeah.
whose names I don't really know.
Yeah, I don't remember.
They sort of have been they're a little bit of a stabilizing force, at least on the five teenage girls, right? On the four that
yeah.
Scarlett killed, plus Maya seemed to be, plus Ruby seemed to be a little bit stabilized by their presence. Like, they needed a dad. Like, teenage ghosts need a dad also, right?
Yeah.
So let me ask you a question. You talked about Scarlett being a sociopath, and we talked about her, like, really enjoying killing and wanting to kill. However, when she puts on the suit, her eyes turn black like a demon, and she's, like, possessed
yeah.
by the suit. We know the suit has, like... The suit is haunted,
a
right?
A life of its own.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what do you think is going on there? Like, how did you feel about that? You who understand the Murder House far better than I do because I can't watch it.
I honestly was a little surprised by the eyes at first. Because, like, all right, you know, it starts out, you want to like Scarlett, you know? And then... you see her eyes go black and you're like, oh, cool, she's possessed, so it's okay. But then you realize,
mm-hmm.
is she really possessed? You're like, eh.
Right.
So at first glance, you know, I mean, at first glance, it looks the way it's going. And then I was kind of like, I don't know that, I feel like that possessed look actually maybe hurt it, or maybe you're supposed to be led to believe that it's because of being possessed, and then you realize one has nothing to really do with the other. I think it was a red herring to kind of throw you off until you realize how sadistic she is.
Right. Because, like, that suit in the past, so, like, when it was Evan Peters who wore that,
Tate.
Right? Like, Tate, right? So Tate, like, his eyes didn't turn black when he wore it, right?
Well, no, he was
like,
already a ghost when we saw him.
Well, yeah, he was already a ghost, so he can't really be maybe, like, possessed by it, right? And then the Harmons come into the house, and they don't get, right? Like, then the family comes into the house, and they don't, I don't know. Like, new people keep moving into that house, right? And we don't. Do we see them getting the black eyes? I don't think so. That was a new thing in this episode, right?
No, that was the only time we've ever seen the black eyes associated with a suit like that.
Yeah. And she also is the most murdery of all people that we've seen don the suit.
Yeah.
Right? So, I don't know. So, because I never
watched a human we've ever seen put on the suit.
Yeah, that's
everybody
else
has been a ghost.
Everybody else has been a ghost. So maybe because she's a human, but I don't know. I guess for me, like, not having really ever completed Murder House, I mean, I've seen a little bit of murder. The Murder House has recurred a couple times, or at least once, right? But
you've seen enough, and you know everything. Even though
yeah.
you didn't finish watching, you still know what transpired.
Yeah. I guess just to see her eyes turn black and for her to be kind of possessed wasn't necessary to me because that suit was not really what made her murderous, right? She already she's a sadist and a psychopath and a killer, and maybe that suit provides her some sort of little bit of extra energy to do what she's doing, but the suit doesn't make her, it's not like she doesn't want to kill him, the suit possesses her, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, didn't love it. And so I think I mentioned last week that the season finale was, I read on the internet, was being, the season finale was being shot at the murder house. There's like a real house, I guess, where they shoot it, right? And the exteriors, at least. And that the season finale perhaps takes place again in the house.
It's going back in the house, yeah.
I mean, it's kind of a brilliant concept. The idea that everyone who dies in the house has to stay there. And, I mean, we've seen, I don't know, who knows how many are dead in there? Tens, hundreds, right? Like,
they actually made
there's any number of
stories
actually
you said,
can tell.
But they actually, Ruby said a number. I don't remember what the number was off the top of my head. But Ruby definitely did say a specific number. But I don't remember what the number was.
I'm going to Google that right now. How many ghosts are in Murder House? I just Googled it. Let's see. Murder House. How many ghosts are in the... I don't know. It's not coming up. Thank you, Dr. Google, for not answering my question. Google's supposed to know everything. I bet if I asked Alexa, Alexa might... Oh, so there was... In 2011, there were 24 ghosts living in the house. Which is season one, right? In season one, there are 24 ghosts, according to
that. That might be the amount of ghosts we're aware of as of season one. But Ruby, there's definitely hundreds of ghosts in that house.
Probably, because that house is old. That house is probably 100 years old, and all the ghosts keep killing more people, right?
24 sounds like a number that we know about from watching the show. Somebody added up all the ghosts that were ever mentioned. There's definitely more ghosts than that.
So we've seen like 24, but we don't really know.
I was going to mention the one thing. In episode two, I got so excited when it was Halloween. I was like, yay, it's Halloween, because I just have such fond memories of season one at the murder house of Halloween. That was such they were the best two episodes of that season.
And it's the only day they can leave the house. This one was an okay, but not a great, like, I mean, I guess if you're a murder ghost, then going to some Halloween event is a great way to kill people and not really be caught, right?
This was, you know, part of an episode, whereas.
Yeah.
Season one had two full episodes that were Halloween.
Halloween, yeah. I mean, it also is a great idea that it's the one night the dead can walk the streets. I mean, and that's common in many horror stories. Like, I remember in Buffy the Vampire Slayer, Halloween was the one night that, like, you know, the vampires would. So, I mean, it was kind of a, actually that episode actually really shows more of Scarlett's sociopathic tendencies. Like, she kills without even having the mask on, right? Like, there's another one in the corner, and she kills even without the suit, like, turning on black or whatever. Yeah. So, I think my favorite two ghosts are the two dads. Like, they're hilarious when they die. I do kind of love the idea that when they die, their marriage gets better.
Well, yeah, because now they have other ghosts to sleep with.
Well, yeah,
they now have an open in death. They have an open marriage.
They do, but also like the Matt Bomer ghost comments, like, they have a lot less stress. They don't have to worry about money. They don't have to worry about the house. Like, all their stress is gone, and they can just like have a better marriage, and also like have an open marriage. But that was kind of. I love them as ghosts. They were hilarious. Like, they were, I guess, part of what made this episode more fun and less scary is it did have that definite comedic kind of thing with them, right? Like, they could have written this with more serious parents, but they were kind of fun. So, I mean, so then we had the third episode, which is the movie.
Drive-In.
Horror movie.
Yes.
Yeah, the Drive-In. Kind of inspired by horror. It was about a horror movie and inspired by horror movies, right?
Yeah.
And had the two main dress are unknown to me. I'm not familiar with those two kids. I don't know if you are. Have
well,
you seen them before?
The girl I have never seen. The boy, whose character's name I'm forgetting, he was actually, he played character of Alex on the Marvel's The Runaways.
Oh, yeah, I haven't seen that.
Which, yeah. So I knew who he was. And, of course, our buddy,
John. Yeah, I want to call him John C. Reilly, which is totally
John,
not his name.
John Carroll Lynch.
John
Carroll Lynch.
John C. Somebody. Yes,
there
John
go.
Carroll Lynch.
You got
yeah,
me started.
Yeah.
I got the rest of the way. Yeah, he's the quote unquote villain in the episode. It was fun. It reminded me of there was something. I feel like it's a trope that's been similar before. I'm trying to think. There was something else at one point that was like that with movies, you know. It was kind of a trope of, you know, movies like this make people go crazy type of thing, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought it was kind of fun with the subliminal messages and everything. You know what's the funny thing about the young girl in the show, though? The whole time I'm looking at her the whole time and I'm thinking, you know, she looks familiar. I Google her. I've never seen her before. I have no idea who she is. And then finally, there's this one scene, I look at her, I'm kind of like, I said to Artie, I was like, you know, she kind of reminds me of Zendaya. He's like, I was just thinking the same thing.
I thought the same thing also. I thought when that first scene happened, I was like, is that Zendaya? Who is that? And I don't really know who she, yeah, I've not seen her before, but I thought the same thing. I think it's the hair and other physical resemblance, but yeah. And I liked her. I thought she was, you know, she to have to carry the whole episode. I think they did a pretty good job with, you know, this was kind of just like an okay episode, I thought. I don't know. Did you love it or did you think it was I thought it was kind of okay.
It was just, I mean, most of these episodes are going to be like that because it's just each episode's a self-contained story. You know, the only reason that the first two episodes were different is not only were they two parts of the same story, but we were revisiting something we already know something about. So this, you know, I liked it. I thought it was an interesting story. You know, it was kind of in vain, you know, I mean, it was, you know, kind of in vain with all this zombie stuff, TV and movie stuff going on lately. And I thought it was kind of funny and fitting. You know, they think they've won the day and they go back to his house and they're going to finally have sex for the first time and you see Netflix pop up with the movie.
Yeah.
So you're like, oh, yeah, everybody's screwed. And then they pan out the window and the world is just going to shit as these two are bumping uglies.
Yeah, I mean, because the movie's now on Netflix and presumably, like, almost everyone in the whole world.
Yeah, it's a wrap.
I mean, not everyone will see it, but certainly, like, it's going to travel the whole world, right?
Oh, I know. I've been screwed. I was like, oh, if it's on Netflix, I'm watching it. I'm going to be like, hey, what's all the big deal about this movie?
Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah, I would have definitely been done for.
Yeah. I mean, it was kind of fun. I mean, also, like, this show, so it does seem like the guy who was the director of the movie, like, I didn't really get how he's like, I'll never stop till everyone on the whole planet sees it. I'm like, so you actually want everyone to die? Like, I know that, like, so, I forgot the director's name, but he wanted to be recognized, I felt like, as a visionary director and to prove something, and he had these sort of delusions of grandeur, but when he says, like, I'll not stop till everyone on the whole planet sees it, I'm like, oh, so you want to destroy, like, all of humanity, like, I'm not really sure about that, but I guess he's just a typical crazy horror movie guy, like, this is a horror movie-inspired episode, and I think it's self-contained, while many of, like, well, the first two episodes relate to Murder House, and I could see some of that recurring, and maybe we'll see some of those characters again. I feel like this one was self-contained, and we might never see any more of it again, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Especially
yeah, I mean,
American
as far
Horror
as
Story
goes.
Doesn't... Go ahead.
Go ahead.
Well, I mean, I think maybe it's hard to say if this, if American Horror Story's canon for American Horror Story, which is going to premiere in like a month now, right, on television, and do things that happen in this particular episode, would we ever see it again? Like, are there going to be like horror movie zombies now part of this, or like I just feel like maybe
so.
This is not a, this is self-contained, never to be seen again, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, down, I mean, if they get, if he does a season two of it, I can see maybe down the road there being like some kind of comment about it. Like, oh, thank God they got that movie off of Netflix before things got really out of hand. You know, something like, you know, some kind of throwaway line, something, you know, alluding to it. I mean, he does those, you know, Ryan Murphy likes to do that stuff. Oh, and speaking of things that Ryan Murphy likes to do, as everybody knows, Ryan Murphy is an open gay man. And I love when he puts in, you know, transgender or homosexual characters that don't feel forced. I liked that,
D.
I don't know if he was really trans or just across the, D, yeah, D. I don't know if he was, you know, I enjoyed that character. That character was funny, you know, and it's like, yeah, he's going down on the other guy. And you know what's gonna happen. You see it coming. He's like every time his head comes up, you see him peering at the movie. And I'm like, oh, that poor kid. He's about to get his shit chopped off.
right. It was so great because like you knew it was coming, and you're so horrified waiting for it to happen. Yeah, I thought it was really good, and I agree with you. I like D also a lot. For the same reason, like it was just a very natural character who was just a friend, like, you know, just a friend of, who's the girl who's the main, Zendaya, just like Zendaya's really good friend. Her name
Zendaya
is
look-alike.
The Zendaya, well, I can't remember her name. Chad is the boy and the girl is, I don't know. Anyway, I also
Kelly.
Love that.
Kelly, I just remembered Kelly.
Kelly, yeah. Yeah. So, and this character, I just Googled really quickly that D, who is D played by? D is played by an actor named, I don't know. Anyway, I did really like the same, as you said, D was just this really, you know, interesting, Ben J. Pierce plays D in American Horror Story. Ben, who is also known as Miss Benny, is a singer-songwriter and a YouTuber, previously in Fuller House and some other stuff. But yeah, I love that this character dresses in female clothing, but doesn't necessarily present as a trans woman, right? Like, and I just love that it didn't really matter. Like, we don't even have to think about it. Like, it was just Kelly's, like, best friend. And there was this boy who was interested in Dee, the boy who gets chomped. And it wasn't presented as any kind of like, you know, like I think in a lot of shows that character would be presented as not accepted and like hetero boys
just
would
another
be
person.
Mean and like, yeah, it was some other person who was really easily accepted. I thank you for pointing that out. It was really great. And Dee was hilarious and then got the great penis chomping moment and then spit it out. Like that was great when she sits up, Dee sits up. And, like, it's, you know, in her mouth and she spits it out and then goes for the jugular or whatever. So I kind of love that, like, you know, so this whole episode was about, like, teenage sex also, right? And in the beginning, Kelly's not ready to have sex with Chad. And, you know, after they, I mean, would you say that was a murder at the end of the day, that they murdered the director? I mean, they did murder that guy, right?
Oh, absolutely. That was a straight. Oh, they absolutely
then,
did, but it was
yeah.
It was a righteous kill. It was a righteous.
It
kill.
Was.
I mean, this guy's trying to kill the planet.
Yes. Oh yeah, and then after that they have sex. Although Kelly was prepared to have sex with Chad in the drive-in, right? Like that was the intention.
Yes.
That she was ready in the drive-in. But
yeah,
after they finally
he was
like,
he was like, enough,
yeah.
Just go for it.
Yeah. So yeah, it was a pretty good. I mean, like, it was a much lighter. It was not scary in any way, right?
Yeah.
And even, you know, even the part where John C. Reilly, John Taylor Tucker, John, why can't I remember this guy's name? The director of the movie.
I know who you mean.
You know, yeah.
John David Lynch.
John Carroll Lynch plays Larry Bitterman is the name of the director,
Larry
right?
Bitterman, there you
and
go.
So when Bitterman, where am I going with this? When Bitterman gives that little bit of film history, which was so interesting, when Bitterman's like, do you remember in The Exorcist? And he tells this whole story. And, you know, to me, The Exorcist is maybe the most terrifying thing I've ever seen. And I have to admit that I've never really seen it because I'm always like, not even always, I haven't even attempted in probably 5-30 years to look at it. But, you know, my eyes are closed and going la, 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 la the whole time. But I also have heard the story that there were, like, subliminal messages cut into it by the director and whatever. And so when John Carroll Lynch, like, gives that little lecture about the history of subliminal messaging and what it meant, it was really great. And I also, like, there was a moment, like, it just, like, underscored to me how this, they could have made this a far scarier story, but they made this, like, the fun teenage horror movie. And also, like teenage horror movies that are about, like, urban legends is a big thing, a big trope, right? Like, there are plenty of, I mean, in some ways, like, I mean, people thought Jason was a trope until in the movie he was real, right? Or stuff like that. So, like, they made a more fun one. And this was, like, more fun than, like, so I felt like 1984, which, can we agree that's the worst season ever of American Horror Story? I mean, it has its fun moments.
No, it wasn't.
Story
I
loved
1984. 1984 was fun.
Like, it, okay. It was fun, but as a coherent piece
Hotel
of storytelling, it was kind of a disaster.
Hotel is the worst season.
Hotel's worst, you're right. Hotel is the worst. Hotel is absolutely the worst, you're right.
1984 was fun and nostalgic.
So this episode was kind of like 1984. It was fun, it was nostalgic, and I think having it to 1 hour really helped the story. Like, having 1984 be an entire season was a little bit maybe longer than it needed to be, right? That story went all over the place partly because of – and it's part of, like, murder camp. Like, it's like murder house at camp. If you get killed at the camp, you can't leave also, right? It's like murder house, but it's summer camp. Actually, it'd be nice if there was a wormhole and those characters could go back and forth.
Oh, that'd be kind of cool.
Yeah, but this, I guess I just felt like this episode to me had the same tone and the same vibe as 1984 in some ways was.
Well, it had a
like
lot of.
More concise.
Yeah, I think it was a lot of homages being thrown in there throughout the whole episode.
Yes. You're right. To a lot of things, yeah. I mean, it was sort of a zombie thing. Like, they sort of become zombies after they watch the movie, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I don't know. There are no, like, previews for the next episode. And I don't know. Are there 10? I don't know how many there are. And maybe there's only 6 because
I feel like there's 10. I feel like there's 10.
Yeah.
So
this might overlap with the flagship series return, which is that in September?
Does that actually have a date?
I'm going to Google it now. AHS premiere. Let's see. Oh, because AHS is not sufficient. I'm just going to quickly look it up. Yes, it has a date. And I want to say it maybe is in September. I want to say, like, September 21st, and...
I feel like September was the last thing I heard.
So there is a trailer that I've not seen. It's called Double Feature, and I've heard that the season's divided in half, and there's going to be, like, 2 main stories told during the season, and it is going to premiere on August 25th.
Okay.
So
August 25th?
So that's in.
So they're going to overlap.
August 25th. Yeah, they're going to overlap,
I
think, right?
That's in 3 weeks.
Oh my God, it's in 3 weeks, huh? Yeah. So yeah, it's called Double Feature, which is interesting to me because we just saw an episode that happens in a movie theater, and to me, Double Feature makes me think of a movie theater, but I think not in this case. I think this is a.
I think it's Double Feature because you're getting two stories, two main stories.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yes, and so one of them is an alien story, and one of them is a sea monster story, I think, from what I've read. I have not seen the trailer. There is a trailer out, which I've not seen.
I haven't seen it
and,
either.
And I'm not really sure how I feel about telling two stories, because, like, do I want one scene that tells one story? Yeah. Do I want to trust Ryan Murphy? Yeah.
I say, let's just trust Ryan Murphy.
I mean, I trust Ryan Murphy. There are some things that I don't love, but there are, I'd say I love more seasons than I hate, right?
Absolutely.
I love Asylum. I love Coven. I enjoyed the Antichrist storyline. What's that called? I forget.
Apocalypse.
Anyway. Apocalypse, yeah. So, anyway.
So,
all right, so we'll talk about it again next week.
Yes, we will. And we're about 20 minutes to 12, so do you want to wait until next week? Maybe Jamie will get caught up and we'll do Falcon and Winter Soldier next week? Because I don't think
we
can do it in 20 minutes.
More, we probably need like 30-ish minutes, to talk about it.
At least.
Yeah, and maybe...
And we're talking about the whole series.
Yeah, we can talk about it next week, and we can... So I have seen WandaVision up through the Halloween episode, which I think is episode 6. So I've got 4 to go for WandaVision. So we can put that on our docket at some point also. And we got Black Widow next week also. We can have a Marvel heavy episode next week or not.
There you go.
I
mean, worst case we hold Wanda off another week.
I don't really like WandaVision that much, so that's fine with me.
Oh, you're not liking it? Oh yeah, but Jamie not being it. See, I thought you were gonna enjoy it for the same reason I do, which is because we understand those TV shows that they're parodying. There we go.
I do, and I get like 5 minutes of enjoyment out of it, and then I get like a whole bunch of time like, oh, can we please get rid of these stupid jokes and the stupid storyline and move it along? Like, to me, that got played out after only a few episodes. And while my favorite part is the credit sequence, the opening song and the opening sort of shot of the house and everything, I love. And then I'm like, oh my God, do we really have to, like, can we please, like, there starts to be, we'll talk about it maybe next week, but there starts to be more interesting stuff.
I'm surprised though, because that's what I loved about it. I loved that whole, you know, Bewitched and I Love Lucy and Dick Van Dyke show ambiance and everything. Part of what I loved about it. I gotta tell you, I absolutely love the Halloween episode. I love the Halloween episode because their costumes are their comic book costumes.
Oh, are they? Well, they were sort of like, I mean, I don't read the comic book, but yeah, I did feel like that looks sort of like, is he dressed as himself? Like, is it a green and yellow Vision? What?
That's the thing. That's what they look like in the comic book. So that's why that was fun.
Well, we can talk about it next week. I'm sure Jamie won't have time, but maybe we can, like, bang them out. But, yeah,
we'll see how we do.
To me, that slows it down. So we'll see. We'll talk about it next week. That's everything for this week. That's a wrap. All right.
We will see you again next week.
And a good weekend, and I'll talk to you next Tuesday. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you, everybody, for listening. And good night.
Bye.